Lifers, as you can see, the need is great. And this year, it's greater than ever before, as you saw in the video. Today is November 22nd. We've been building up to this date for the last few weeks now. And I hope you've prepared to give your one day to feed the world offering. Now, I realize that these are tougher times. I realize that some of you may be in a lower income situation than you were at the beginning of this year because of restrictions. And I know that it might be tighter. But these are the times when God's faithfulness really shows itself. That we are never asked to be faithful only when times are good, but to be faithful no matter what. And we may be a little tighter, but there are people who have lost everything and people who are hungry. So I encourage you, I even implore you to make that sacrifice and to send in your one day to feed the world offering so that we can take care of the needy around the world. All right? Let's get into the word today. Psalm 66 is our psalm today in our series, God's Playlist for the Soul. Psalm 66 talks about our awesome God. This coming week is Thanksgiving. And I guarantee you, when 2020 started, I did not think we'd be where we are right now. In what we've been. I didn't think we'd be here right now in March when the first restrictions came down. And honestly, I thought, a couple of weeks, a month, maybe, and we'll be through this thing. Never thought we'd be where we are. At the beginning of the year, we planned, we had, what a perfect year for vision. We're going to have 2020 vision this year. And it didn't work out the way we thought it would work out. But maybe we have more of a 2020 vision than we even bargained for. I don't know if you're watching the times and the culture in connection with the scriptures. I'm not preaching this as a prophet. I'm not saying this as someone who knows what's going to happen next. But here's what I do know. I do know what God's word says about the end times. I do know what God says that we should expect. I do know that what the Word of God says is true. And it's not very hard for me to see the things that are happening in our world today. All the unrest, all the governmental controls, even the buying and selling restrictions. And I could go on and on with all the different things that are happening in our world today. It's not difficult for me at all to start to build a connection between what's happening today and those biblically prophetic things. That I think one day, I really do, one day we're going to look back at this year and say, that's when things escalated. That's when things just took a leap into this next kind of life. And that should create a couple of different feelings inside of us. One, it should create an urgency to reach people more than ever before. If Jesus' coming is that close, then we've got a job to do, church, and that's to reach people so that we can see more families like the Koch family baptized, so that we can see more new life happen because times are truly short. If the times were said to be short back in the biblical days, 2,000 years later, how much shorter are they now? Another emotion that we should feel is excitement. What an awesome thought to realize we're close to seeing Jesus face to face. And even if I'm wrong and we've got another century ahead of us, or a couple of centuries, which I truly, honestly don't believe we've got, but what if we do? How long is another 100 years compared to eternity? You see, church, we've got work to do and we've got worship to do. And I'm excited for this season. God has got a plan. In spite of everything going on, He is our awesome God. And that is the topic of today's message out of Psalm 63. Our God is awesome. And He's not only awesome when things are great, He's awesome when there's trials. And that's what I want to focus on today. How do we worship God in the midst of trouble and trial? Let's turn to Psalm 66 and let's read that together. Open up your Bibles. Hopefully you've got them with you. And let's read this passage. Psalm 66, for the director of music, a song, a psalm. Shout for joy to God, all the earth. Sing the glory of His name. Make His praise glorious. Say to God, How awesome are your deeds! So great is your power that your enemies cringe before you. All the earth bows down to you. They sing praise to you. They sing praises of your name. Come and see what God has done, his awesome deeds for mankind. He turned the sea into dry land. They passed through the waters on foot. Come, let us rejoice in him. He rules forever by his power. His eyes watch the nations. Let not the rebellious rise up against him. Praise our God, all peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill my vows to you. Vows my lips promised and my mouth spoke when I was in trouble. I will sacrifice fat animals to you and an offering of ram. I will offer bulls and goats. Come and hear, all you who fear God. Let me tell you what he has done for me. I cried out to him with my mouth. His praise was on my tongue. If I had cherished sin in my heart, the Lord would not have listened. But God has surely listened and has heard my prayer. Praise be to God who has not rejected my prayer or withheld his love from me. God, I pray in Jesus' name that you would speak to us today. I know that I'm just a person of flesh and blood, but you are spirit, and you can take what we offer today and quicken our hearts and our spirits by your mighty power. Open us up now, Lord, to listen, to receive, and then to do what you have called us to do today in Jesus' name. And everybody said, amen. As you turn to Psalm 66, I want you to also find a couple of other scriptures to dive in here. We're going to use Psalm 66 as our leaping off point, but I want you to turn to James chapter 1, verses 2 through 4, Romans chapter 5, verses 2 and 3 through verse 5, and then Hebrews chapter 12, verses 7 through about 12. So James 1, Romans 5, Hebrews 12, all right? So put a little paper or mark that so you can turn there quickly. I want to talk to us today about the awesome refining process of God. The awesome refining process of God. This is for those who are stuck. This is for those in a hard place. This is for those in a painful place. And I know a lot of us are in those places. We may be stuck or in a hard place emotionally. Maybe you're stuck or in a hard place with your employment. Maybe you're stuck and in a hard place mentally. Maybe it's spiritually. All of us go through those times. And this is for us today. This is for you today. If you're in one of those stuck places, recall what Psalm 66 says in verse number 8. It says, praise our God, all you peoples. Let the sound of his praise be heard. He has preserved our lives and kept our feet from slipping. Now get this. For you, God, tested us. You refined us like silver. You brought us into prison and laid burdens on our backs. You let people ride over our heads. We went through the fire and water, but you brought us to a place of abundance. That's powerful. This psalm starts with praise. Shout to God, all you peoples. And we've talked about that a lot over the last couple of weeks. Shout to God for all the works he has done, his creative power, his wondrous works, his salvation, all those great things. But here, the author turns to, and we praise you for the hard times. You're an awesome God to be praised because of the trouble you allowed to occur in our lives. You tested us, but you brought us out. Are we able to praise God in the hard times? Praise God in the testing times? Praise God when things are really, really hard? And most of you have heard the example that the author uses about the refiner's fire. He says, you refined us like silver. That refining process, so beautiful, but so apt for us in our relationship with God, that the refiner pours in the silver or the other precious metal into the fire, into the furnace, and begins to turn up the heat and then stir it, and turn up the heat and then stir it. And it's to bring out the ores and bring out the other metals. And oftentimes those other metals are useful too. But the main goal is to purify that precious metal. And our historians say that in that refining process, the refiner knows when the refining is complete, when after the heat has been turned up and then turned up again and turned up again and turned up again, that when he can see his reflection in that pure metal, then he knows the refining process has finished. Church, today God wants to see his reflection in us. God wants to see his image purified in us. So today I want to bring you four points about the trials in our lives. Number one, trials happen. Trials happen. They'll happen to all of us. Maybe we should make a Christian version of the bumper sticker. I know you've seen the one that has different words. For us, it just could say, trials happen. You can't avoid hard times. And God has not abandoned you when you have hard times. When we often cry and complain when we go through something tough, as if God has abandoned us. Listen, remember, God told us beforehand we'd have trials. Why do we get surprised and frustrated and kind of bent out of shape and complain to God when he told us even before we made the decision to follow him, in this world you will have trouble. That's what Jesus said. But take heart, he said, I've overcome the world. You will have trouble. Trouble happens. Just because you become a Christian doesn't lead you to a trouble-free life. Doesn't lead you to easy street, just, you know, in advance, resting on your cloud with your harp and being served grapes. This life is tough. We're not in heaven yet. There will be trials. These trials have to happen. They don't just randomly happen. They have to happen. And we'll get into why in a little bit. But let me read you some scriptures that'll help us understand. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 12 says this. Dear friends, do not be surprised at the painful trial you are suffering, as though something strange were happening to you, but instead rejoice. Are you surprised when the trial comes? As if like, what? That wasn't supposed to happen. God, where are you? You weren't supposed to allow that. What? I'm in some kind of, you know, just deep situation. God, where are you? Listen, don't be surprised as if these things are strange. They're not strange. Trials happen. Another verse, Hebrews chapter 12, verse 5 through 6 says, my son, do not make light of the Lord's discipline and do not lose heart when he rebukes you. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves and he punishes everyone he accepts as a son. Get that? When they come. Not if they come. Not if they might happen, just be prepared. No, when they come. Because the Lord disciplines those he loves. We should expect discipline. If we expect it to come, we won't resent it later. What you expect, you won't resent. Because you know it's for a purpose. Let me say that again. Maybe even say it with me. Say it with me. What I expect, I won't resent. If you resent God for something that's happened, likely you didn't expect it. It surprised you as if that shouldn't have happened. No, God already said, when you experience the trials, receive them as the Lord's discipline. He's trying to train us. Another scripture, James chapter 1, verse 2. Consider it pure joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials of many kinds. Whenever, not just a one-time occurrence, that it will happen repeatedly throughout your life, that you'll go through some kind of stuck place, some kind of pain. In Romans chapter 5, verse 2 to 3, and we rejoice in the hope of glory of God. Not only so, but we also rejoice in our sufferings. Not if we suffer, but in them. They will happen. Trials happen. Let me just say this to you. This is a hard thing to say, but it's true. You know what God's goal is? God's goal is to kill you. What? Okay, let me straighten that out for you. Let me help you understand. Not to kill you, like destroy your body, but there's a sin nature inside of us. And as we just saw in the waters of baptism, it's God's goal to kill that sin nature. It's God's goal to put to death, to bury with him in the tomb, to bury that sinful nature, but to raise you to new life, to kill that which is really already killing you. What leads us to death? But the sin in our life, the wages of sin is death. And God wants to kill that which is already killing you. How does he kill that? through the trials, through the painful times, through the difficulties. As Jesus says in the New Testament, in the Gospels, if anyone wants to follow me, he has to deny himself and what? Take up his cross. That cross is not a tool of celebration in a sense of, hey, I got my cross, let's party. No, that cross is a symbol of death. Romans chapter 12 says that we are living sacrifices. The goal of God is to put those things in us to death. The trial, you see, is to reveal how much us is still alive. That's what the trial's for. When I respond badly to the trial, I can see how much of me is still alive. The less of us, the more Christ is revealed in us. Let me give you the point to remember on number one. We are not on the earth to be comfortable, but to be conformed to the likeness of Jesus. I want to repeat that. Let's say that again in first person. I am not on this earth to be comfortable. I am on this earth to be conformed to the likeness of Christ. Trials happen. Number two, God uses trials of many kinds. Okay, trials happen, but what do they look like? God uses trials of many kinds. Number one, Hebrews 2, he uses discipline. Discipline. Now, there are two kinds of discipline. One kind of discipline is when, say, your children have disobeyed and you're going to train them. You're going to punish them because they did something wrong and you're going to teach them not to do the wrong thing again. Another kind of discipline is like an athlete's training or any kind of really employment. When you train, you get better, you refine your skill, you strengthen yourself in order to perform at a higher level. You discipline yourself. And in a way, that's punishment. I've been in lots of different scenarios where I've had to discipline myself. And every time the discipline hurts, every time. Discipline is not fun. Discipline is hard, but there's a purpose for that. I'll never forget Coach Tom Landry. If you're a football fan, back in the 70s and early 80s, he coached the Dallas Cowboys. And great coach, Christian coach, and he said this. A coach is someone who gets people to do something they don't want to do so that they can become the people they want to become. That's a coach. Get you to do something hard, something you don't want to do. When I was training in sports, I didn't want to do the road work. I didn't want to run. I wanted to play soccer. I wanted to be great at soccer. But my coach said, no, you're going to run, and you're going to hate it, and you're going to complain about it. Too bad. It's discipline. And you know what? When we were the last team standing, I could look at the coach and say, coach, thanks for the discipline. Because that built in us what we needed to succeed. That's what God's doing. One kind of trial is discipline. Another kind of trial is what James talks about. It's interesting. It says, when you encounter various trials of many kinds, the Greek word there is a word that means to test you or to prove what's on the inside. This kind of trial is the internal trial. It's the trial you might have via a really, really stubborn temptation or a trial that you might have on the inside. That's anxiety or worry or fear or lust, or pride, or greed, or jealousy, or anger. Whatever that is on the inside, that's a trial. Now, it's your nature, the sin nature that God is trying to come against, and there are those struggles on the inside. Now, here's what I know. If you're not struggling on the inside over something, then there's no fight. I know I'm drifting from God when I'll realize that I'm thinking a certain way or my attitude is a certain way that's not necessarily godly and it doesn't bother me. Or I don't even really notice it. Or it's not really that big a deal. You see, when I do something, say something, think something, and the alarm goes off in my mind, then I know I'm in a good place. Because the fight is happening inside. I want the fight. If I'm not fighting, I'm not in the game. And so the trial of the internal, God wants to root that out and purify that stuff that's inside of us. There's some stuff that I still deal with. some frustrations and resentments and bitterness, and God is working on me through the trials to root that out, to purify me in his beautiful way. There's another kind of trial, and that's suffering. Romans chapter 5 speaks of the suffering. Different word, same word in English, but different word in the Greek. And this word means affliction or the adversity. This is the external stuff. We've got the internal, but now the external, like a disaster or like so many folks in the recent fires had their homes burned. That would be an external adversity. Or like you saw in the video of Convoy of Hope, the flooding and the typhoons and things. Maybe an illness or maybe an accident on the road or maybe a problem with a boss or a coworker. External stuff that happens. Those are trials of adversity. And God, will also allow those in order to purify you, in order to work through you, in order to bring the refining process into your life so that you will become more and more like him. Another kind of trial is persecution. Jesus talked about that in Matthew chapter 5 in the Beatitudes. He said, blessed are you when you're persecuted for his name's sake. Sometimes you didn't do anything except just be a Christian. And somebody's mad at you. Somebody persecutes you. Somebody doesn't like you. Somebody calls you something. Someone might even strike out against you. Jesus died simply because he was a loving God. And he told the truth. Sometimes the trial will be through persecution. Whatever trial you're going through, 1 Corinthians chapter 10 says, verse 13, God will not allow you to be tempted beyond what you can bear. That context is in temptation. When we talk about adversity, you know what? Some people get martyred. You say, God, what's the deal with that? I thought you said you're not going to allow us to be tempted beyond what we can bear. Well, yeah, but martyrdom is not temptation. The temptation is to turn your back on God. There are those who meet Jesus face to face, and the Bible says, blessed in the eyes of God are those that pass into the next life because they stood for what is right. They stood for what is true. This is about our measurement of where we are. God allows trials so we can see how much like him are we really. You know, when you squeeze an orange, what comes out? A beautiful, juicy, sweet orange juice. Sometimes when a Christian gets squeezed, sweetness doesn't come out. Sometimes it's bitterness. Sometimes it's anger. Sometimes it's strain. Sometimes it's lashing out. When we get squeezed, we see what's inside, because what's inside will come out. Remember, trials are not random. God uses many kinds. Don't waste them. Don't waste the trial. Number three, God allows trials for various reasons. Okay, God, why are these things happening? Come on, God. Come on, why is this going on? Trials happen. They happen in many different ways, but why do they happen? What's the reason for them? This is the hard part. Like, God, what is going on? We could try to figure it out. You know what? Trying to figure out the trial sometimes is just a useless effort. And right here, you've got to be aware of people. Okay, really, really be aware of people right here. Because people are wanting to come alongside and assign a reason why you're going through what you're going through. That's a big part of the whole entire book of Job. Job's going through a trial that Satan initiated, God allowed, and then his friends come along and say, well, Job, it's because you're unrighteous. Job, it's because of the way you are. It's because. And these friends attached all kinds of things to try to tell Job things that were not true as to why he was going through what he's going through. We got to really, really be careful of what people say. People would say, well, it's just because you're a sinner. That's why you're going through this. It's because you must have done something to tick God off. Or, where is your God now? I thought your God was gracious. Why are you going through this hard time? I thought your God was loving. If he's really loving, why are you struggling so much? You've got to be aware of people and not listen to those lies, not listen to that noise that gets in your head. You see, people will say whatever way, you know, they'll say something whichever way the wind blows. Don't ever forget that on one day they were shouting Hosanna, and 4 days, 5 days later, they were shouting crucify him. People change what they say just depending on the day. We've got to keep our eyes focused in regard to the purposes of the trials. One purpose is righteousness and peace. God is allowing you to go through it to produce righteousness and peace. Hebrews 12, 10 to 11 says, God disciplines us for our good that we may share in his holiness. It produces a harvest of righteousness and peace for those who have been trained by it. You want righteousness in your life? It's going to come through a trial. You want peace in your life? It's going to come through a trial. Because God says that's how we participate in his holiness, and he produces that. He's a loving father, and he trains those who are his sons. Fathers are toughest on their own kids. They are, because they love them the most. They don't want to let that child of theirs any leeway to slip up and become someone they don't want them to become. Other kids, that's their parents' problem. But my kids, that's my problem. And God says, you're my kid. I'm going to train you, and I'm going to teach you, and I'm going to produce righteousness and peace in you. Another thing that's produced is perseverance and complete maturity. Perseverance and complete maturity. James 1, 3 to 4 says, the testing of your faith develops perseverance. Perseverance must finish its work so that you may be mature and complete, not lacking anything. You realize the goal of God is so that you will not lack anything? That's his goal. His goal isn't to smash you, to destroy you. His goal is to purify you, to refine you, like the psalmist wrote. There are a lot of adolescent Christians today. There really are. That we just want to be comfortable. God, I don't want any trials. I don't want any hardships. You know, I'm good just staying a 13-year-old adolescent Christian. I'll still stay at mom's house. Let her feed me. Let her do my laundry. Let her make my bed. I don't really want to grow up. God's not that kind of parent. God is not an enabler. God will bring the trial into your life in order to produce perseverance, which then produces complete maturity. Romans 5, 3 to 4 also says, perseverance produces character and character hope. It says, suffering produces perseverance. Perseverance, character, and character hope. Once again, have you seen a commonality here in James and Romans? Perseverance is the key. Perseverance. You see, we don't produce maturity. I can't produce maturity. I can't produce character. I can't produce hope. You know who produces those? God produces those. I persevere. That's what I do. I hang on. I don't let go of hope, and hope won't let go of me. That's what we do. We hang on and say, yes, God. Yes, God. God, it hurts. God, but I'm still with you. God, I don't like this, but I'm not going to stray. God, I don't want this to be happening, but I trust that if it is happening, it's because you're doing something in my life. Our job is to persevere. It's God's job to produce maturity, character, and hope. Next one is this. This is powerful. Sometimes the trial is there, not for you, but for somebody else, for the purpose of helping somebody else out. It's not for you at all. 2 Corinthians 1, 3 to 6 says this. Praise be to the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who comforts us in our troubles so that we can comfort those in any trouble with the comfort we ourselves have received from God. Sometimes the trouble isn't for you. Sometimes God is doing something in you so that you can help somebody else. God can use your trials you're facing to encourage someone. I've had different difficult times in my life, and you know what? The most powerful tools that I have in ministry are the things that I've had trouble with. Because I can go to somebody and say, yeah, me too. I know what you're feeling. I've been through that. Let me tell you how I got through it. And it encourages another person. Your problem is sometimes to help someone else in their problem. Let me ask you this. Is your problem just a problem, or is your problem tied to God's purpose? So you can get through it when you realize your problem is tied to God's purpose. If you just think it's a problem, you're wasting the problem. If it's just, oh, whatever, you know, I don't know where God is. I'm just kind of trying to figure it out. No, attach it to the purpose. And you may not even know what the purpose is, but God does. And God, you've got a purpose, and I'm going to hold on to you, and I'm not going to let go. When you've got the problem, start looking for the opportunity. Because if God is doing something in you to help somebody else, then start looking for that opportunity. Where's the opportunity in this? You know, recently, just this year, we hired Pastor Angela. Now, understand that that hiring happened after a year of searching. And we were ready to go, literally a year. We were looking, we were just doing everything we could, and we had a couple of candidates that we thought were just home run candidates. These people are awesome. We're going to love them. They're going to be great. And we thought they were ready to say yes, and they met with us and said, we're not coming. We're going to say no. And you know, we were tempted to get discouraged. But praise God, we learned from past experiences, and we said, God, if these people are saying no, and we know you've got somebody for us, you must have somebody awesome for us. And it took a year, and we're thinking, well, okay, if it takes a year, it takes a year. And it was hard, because Pastor Steve and Pastor Faith and their staffs, they had to do all kinds of extra work that they didn't really have the time and bandwidth to do, but they kept doing it and kept working until we met Pastor Angela and we heard her story. You know what we realized? We realized that year waiting had nothing to do with us. That she was going through some particular things with her family and her particular set of circumstances. And that only until those circumstances came into light did she then start looking for a place to minister again. And then God put the pieces together. And we said, oh God, that waiting wasn't for us at all. That waiting was for her. And then God put the pieces together. You see, sometimes it's not about you. Sometimes it's about somebody else. And in the midst of that, you've got to be peaceful and trust and then start looking for the opportunity. Remember this. Trials are not to destroy you, but to strengthen you. There's a purpose. And last, how should we respond to trials? How do we respond? You have a choice. Here's your choice. Listen to this now. You have a choice. Are you going to choose misery or mission? That's your choice. Oh, this stinks. I hate this. This is the worst. I don't want to go through this. This is lame. I'm frustrated. Well, you can choose that. You can choose misery. Or you can choose mission. God, you're doing something in my life. Praise God, you're the refiner who wants to make me like pure silver. Praise God that you're working in me to purify me, to bring righteousness and peace and perseverance and character and hope and maturity. And you might have an opportunity for me to minister to somebody else. God, I choose mission. What do you choose? You choose misery or do you choose mission? We want opportunity. We do. But we don't also often want the adversity. And you see, with opportunity typically comes adversity. I'd rather lay hold of the opportunity and persevere through the adversity. Because God's miracle is always greater than the test before the miracle. Wasn't the resurrection greater than the crucifixion? Now you might say, well, theologically, Pastor, but let me tell you this. If there's no resurrection, Jesus died for nothing. He's dead now. But he resurrected. Jesus said, or the gospel says in Hebrews chapter 12, for the joy set before him, he endured. You endure the present for the joy future. The joy is always greater than the endurance. It always is. But some of us never get to the joy because we get short-circuited in the endurance. We quit during the hard time. And we choose misery instead of mission. How do we respond? We respond with praise. As the psalmist said, praise the Lord. And keep the promises you made during the trial. I love this, what the psalmist says in Psalm 66. He said, you refined us like silver. And then he says in verse 13, 14, I will come to your temple with burnt offerings and fulfill the vows I made to you when I was in trouble. How many of you had made vows to God when you were in trouble and then got out of the trouble and says, you know, God, I'm not sure I really meant what I said back there. I wanted you to get me out of it, sure, and I made a promise for you to get me out of it, but I don't think I'm really ready to do that. God can't be manipulated. God's a much smarter parent than that. But if we make a vow, keep your vows. Better to not make a vow at all and just say, God, I trust you and persevere. Better not to try to leverage God in the first place. Another response, don't lose heart, but receive discipline as a condition of sonship. God, I'm going through a hard time and it stinks. Can I just tell you, Christian, you don't have to put on the Christian happy face because it's not real. Everybody knows that hardships hurt. They're painful. There's a time to weep. There's a time to have somebody else to lean on. There's a time to need each other. There's a time when pain is pain and it's real. But in that, don't lose heart. Say, God, you told me in this world there'll be troubles, but you told me to take heart, for you've overcome the world. This hurts right now, but I trust you're going to bring me through like refined silver. It's going to be beautiful, and you're going to lead me through. You know, quitters in practice never make the team. I think a lot of times we hit the trial, we hit the training, and we don't want the training, and we quit. And then we never see the beautiful, wonderful product that God is trying to produce. Next bullet, be joyful in the midst of the trial. It's no joke. It hurts. But joy is not happiness. Joy is that understanding that no matter what, God has got me and I've got him, and one day I'm going to see him face to face. Happiness is that fickle thing that is an emotional changing of the wind. Favorite story is of the two sisters, Tin Boom, in the Nazi prison camp. Their family has been butchered in the gas chambers of Nazi Germany. And Corey and Betsy, Christian women, want to share Jesus with the rest of the inmates, but they can't because the Nazi guards will punish them and even execute them if they do. And God, in his wisdom, infested their barracks with fleas. And most of us would say, God, what a trial, what a mess. We hate these fleas. This is the worst. God, take it away. Except for these women realized that because of the fleas, the guards would not come and check their barracks because they didn't want to get the fleas. And the fleas became the opportunity for those two women to share and lead many to Jesus within the confines of those concentration camps. Sometimes the thing that you think is your worst enemy is God's blessing because he's doing something greater. Be joyful. And last, James says, consider it all joy, my brothers, whenever you face trials. Remember, that was the temptation part. There's one last thing I want to say. And it's verse 18 of Psalm 66 says, if I had had cherished sin in my heart, you would not have heard me. Sometimes our trials is because it's our own fault. We've sinned and there's consequence. God saved me from the trial. And God says, well, you made your bed, sleep in it. You're going to have to learn from this one. Sometimes the consequences are harsh when we sin. I just want to ask you right now, after everything I've said about trusting God and honoring God and being and persevering, sometimes the trial is there because it's a consequence of our own cherished sin. Cherished means you love the sin. You cherish it. You don't want to give it up, even though God says give it up. Is God calling you to release a cherished sin today? If you don't, you're going to go through trials. And when you cry out for God to bring relief, it's not going to bring relief. Why would a loving God bring relief when you're still stubborn? No, he's going to bring you to bottom. And when he brings you to bottom, hopefully that's the day you look up and you cry out. And the loving hand of Jesus reaches down into the deepest pit and pulls you up. But he can't pull you up until you cry out. You got to cherish sin? Leave it today. Confess it today. Let it go. It's just going to bring more pain. The last thing to remember here, you will keep going through what you're going through until you grow through what you're going through. It's a powerful statement. You're going to keep going through it until you grow through it. And you say, okay, God, I've grown enough. See, it's not up to us to measure it. It's up to God to measure it. And he knows what he's doing. Can we be faithful in that? I know some of you are going through hard times, tearful times, serious struggles. But I want to encourage you today. The production of the hand of the refiner is so much better and so much greater than the trial you're facing. Trust him. He's our awesome God. I want to pray for you today. Father, in Jesus' name, I ask that you lay your hand on all these people that you love. And if they're in that stuck, hard place, that painful place, that pressure-filled place, Lord, that you would minister your peace right now, knowing that no one likes the discipline. No one likes the trial. But yet, God, we love you. I pray that you'd strengthen us each and every day to hang on. Strengthen us each and every day to see the mission, not the misery. Strengthen us, God, to see the opportunity in the problem. Strengthen us, Lord, to expect that you will do these things. Therefore, we won't grow bitter against you. God, we don't want to waste the trial. Help us to keep our eyes focused on you. If you've not yet reached out to Jesus, why not today? Why not let today be your day? That God, you're my only answer. Without you, my troubles are just trouble. There's nothing in them but hurt. But with you, God, my troubles can produce something beautiful. Why don't you reach out to him today? If you'd like to do that, go on the website. On the Connection and Prayer tab, just hit that connection card will appear, and you can type in that I want to surrender my life to Jesus. We'll get in touch with you and we'll help you. Doesn't matter if you live in the area. Doesn't matter. I know there are people that are watching even overseas. Doesn't matter where you are. We'll help you. The wonder of technology can connect us, and we'll do everything we can to start you in your growth. Why waste the trials when God can make them an opportunity? When God can develop you through them. Amen? Amen. Love you so much. Let's conclude with our Revelation 1, 5-6 verse. And I hope you're learning this. I hope you're committing it to memory, because it is a powerful, powerful life statement. Let's say it together. To him who loves us and has freed us from our sins by his blood, and has made us to be a kingdom and priest to serve his God and Father, to him be glory and power forever and ever. And everybody said, amen. 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 God bless your lifers. Love you. We'll see you next week.